Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today, the Sioux Falls Arts Council unveiled the results from a study about the economic impact of local arts and culture. Joining us now at the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls, Kara Dirksen, Executive Director of the Council. Welcome back.
Thanks, Lori. I'm very glad to be here.
You've had a big morning, a big press conference, Facebook Live. Everything's been going on. You get a breath.
Yes, I did stop and grab a coffee to go on my way over here to the studio.
How long has this? This is the beginning of many conversations. When did this study first begin, and when was the last time the economic impact of the arts in the Sioux Falls area was studied?
So the gathering of data really began at the beginning of 2016 for our area. And then the data that we collected is in the report that was just released. So 5 years ago was the last time we participated in this study. So 2012, there was a release, and now in 2017, this is our second time participating.
Give us a background from the study perspective. Who's doing this study? What are they looking for and why?
So we are partnering with Americans for the Arts, which is a national arts kind of advocacy group and research group. They do all the number crunching. Let's put it that way. They've developed the model for this study, and it's the most thorough and scholarly study of its kind. It evaluates the role of nonprofit arts and cultural organizations on the economy. They do a study for the nation as a whole, based on partner communities that agree to connect with them and collect data in their local communities and then report it. So we are in charge of collecting the data, determining which organizations qualify according to the terms of the study, and then forwarding that information to Americans for the Arts, where they use the study model they've developed to create some significant markers for economic impact.
So what kind of information are they gathering? Ticket sales for a concert comes to mind. What else?
They are looking at a couple of key things. A lot of it does have to do with expenditures that arts organizations themselves are spending. Mm-hmm. So you know, what are the overall budgets that arts organizations are looking at from year to year? They also do a series of direct audience intercept surveys. And so that's part of our job, is to make sure that arts and cultural organizations in our area get a series of survey studies that they can give to audience members. And those questions ask demographic issues. It also addresses what sort of spending people are doing when they attend an arts or cultural event. And it really targets spending that doesn't have anything to do with the admission price if they paid one for that arts and cultural event. So we're really looking at outside of that event itself, what sort of spending. Meals, for example, it's a really common expenditure that people have when they're going out to enjoy the arts.
All right. So did you have hopes, expectations? Do you try to set those expectations aside and just say, let's see what the data shows? It's hard to disassociate that from the emotion as an arts advocate.
Yeah. No, really, it's once the data is submitted, some of it goes directly from the organizations to Americans for the Arts. Some of it we collect and send on behalf of organizations. So it really is a wait and see. I know that there are other communities that participated across the country that probably have news that's less positive when it comes to the economic splash that the arts and culture sector makes on their communities. So really, it was kind of like opening a gift. You're not sure if you're going to like it, but it's exciting to have a gift when those results were first given to us.
All right, let's talk about the results. Let's dig into the results and the economic splash. What are we looking at?
Well, one of the key numbers is the total overall spending between audience members in this area and arts organizations themselves. And for the greater Sioux Falls area, we're looking at almost $105.5 million. Mm. And that's very significant.
Yeah, that's not small change there.
And, you know, it's we do have the prior study to look at as a frame of reference. I do so with some hesitations because our partner organizations here locally have changed. And the first time around, I know not all of them probably understood the importance of this study and they didn't share their data. This time around, we have a much better sampling of our nonprofit arts and cultural organizations. So that number is higher for a number of reasons. One is that we have more organizations who participated, but I think it also is because people are spending more. And we also see that the economy is in a better place, nationally speaking. People are leaving home, driving further to experience arts and culture, as we see in the study, and they're spending more when they do that.
So when you break it down into other key areas that, are significant, what are you looking at?
So one of the key points that I'm really excited about is to see the attendance numbers. 5 years ago, there were about 886,000 reported attendees at arts and culture events. That would have been for the fiscal year 2010. The data came out in 2012. Now we're looking at fiscal year 2015 with the data coming out now, and we're at about 2.5 million attendees in this area.
Wow.
So that's an exciting number. The other one is the average amount that people spend when they're taking advantage of those arts and cultural activities. It's gone up from about $21 to now, with this study, we're looking at an average of just over $30 per person. So
what kind of venues are we talking about attendance? What's all under the umbrella? Concerts,
excellent
theater?
Question. Yeah, and that really is a key point with this study. We focus just on the nonprofit arts and culture sector. So we're looking at some very small organizations and some rather large ones that are in the greater Sioux Falls area. So within city limits, you know, some key organizations that come to mind are the Sioux Empire Community Theater. They happen not to report this time, but that's okay, but they would qualify otherwise. The Washington Pavilion, the Sculpture Walk. We also see Siouxland Heritage Museums data in here. There's the Great Plains Zoo data here. But not an organization like, for example, the Premier Center, because that is not a nonprofit. And so any for-profit arts and culture attractions or businesses or individual artists are not included in the study. So if we were to have such a study, the impact would be just difficult to calculate. I don't know quite what it would be, but these numbers are conservative because it really just focuses on the nonprofits.
All right, and also including things that don't have an admissions price. So Sculpture Walk in Sioux Falls is not a ticketed event. You wander around downtown and you look at sculptures. So what's the significance and the importance of including organizations like that? Why do they matter?
Well, I think what we're looking at, specifically from the Arts Council perspective here in Sioux Falls, is that accessibility question is how accessible are arts experiences? And not just in terms of admission, that being an issue or not, but also it's about knowing about it. It's awareness. It's having some type of collective message about our arts community that can be more readily put into the hands of tourists and even residents here, or in the hands of organizations that are trying to attract workers and retain them here. And so that accessibility factor, which we're hoping to increase to make our arts community more navigable, I think that's really where we're going to start focusing. And the exciting thing is that we do have things like you mentioned, Sculpture Walk, where they're available, and there's no admission in that case. But what else can we add to the experience of people that are coming to, you know, to have dinner and maybe walk around downtown? Can we give them a tool of some kind so they can navigate their way through the arts community a bit better and take advantage of more than just one or two things?
Yeah. What does that look like? We had some guests here yesterday from Sweden, and we were talking about the comparison, and they said it's just so, you know, there's a geography, it's close together. And I think what they were getting at is that notion of navigability. Is that a word? And navigation.
Yeah.
What does that look like in a city like Sioux Falls, in a state like South Dakota? What does navigation of an arts community really look like?
Well, I think of some key messaging and marketing pieces that the Sioux Falls Arts Council is trying to be that coordinator and connector, so we can have a collective voice for the arts community here, and really to serve the entire community, whether it's someone who's here temporarily or if they're here long term. And that could be, we're evaluating what exactly it will look like, but what it could look like includes things such as our arts maps for our community. In addition to our website, where people can actually go and look to that to find out what art exhibits are currently on display in Sioux Falls, if we're looking at visual arts. Increasing the usage of our central events calendar, which is something that we have and that is, I'm excited to say, fully functional on our website is...
Always a challenge, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I recently was able to add a staff person, and we are focusing so heavily on that arts and cultural events calendar right now, where it's a resource. You come to our website, you can search on any day to see what's going on in our arts and cultural scene, and organizations can submit events to us, so we can include those on there, and then we try to amplify the voice of organizations by spreading word on social media and that sort of thing about events. Mm-hmm. And we see this as a service to the whole community. It's that accessibility factor.
Right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest, Kara Dirksen, Executive Director of the Sioux Falls Arts Council. We're talking about a study that was just released this morning, Arts and Economic Prosperity 5. the economic impact of nonprofit arts and cultural organizations and their audiences. It's looking at the greater Sioux Falls area. And Kara, I'm wondering about the artists themselves or the arts organizations themselves. How important is it for them to think economically, to think dollar signs and black and white versus just their mission and just their artistic offerings? How crucial is that? That they have an eye toward economic impact?
You know, I think on one hand, I see that really as the role of the Sioux Falls Arts Council is to help develop that part of their message. Some of them really do what they're doing and do it very well, and they may or may not have an eye to some of the ins and outs of the study, for example. And so I think that's a way we can really serve the arts community is to help add this half of the message to the impact of arts and culture here. I've said this to a lot of people that I've encountered lately. I feel like, if you think of the sales, quote-unquote sales aspect of what I do, I have a very easy product to sell in the sense that it has this tremendous intrinsic value. And it adds such a huge element to quality of life. People get that. Most people, in fact, about 87% of people when polled say that arts and culture are integral to the quality of life in a community. People get that. And what they don't always remember is that, it's not just that, but there's also an impact when it comes to nuts and bolts, dollars spent, jobs created, and economic vitality.
So what does that mean for non-arts organizations? How do they look at this, a school, a small business? Is there any message in there for them, for a small business owner or an industry that's not necessarily attached to arts already, mm-hmm. to say, okay, this is happening over here. Here's some data I can look at. But what's the takeaway for me?
You know, some of the data in the study breaks down the amount of spending by categories. And when it comes to small businesses in the area, especially because we have so many arts and cultural events and experiences in the downtown area, those small businesses are partners because without that full experience of people coming to arts and cultural events and then having some fun shopping to do while they're there, or a nice place to eat, have a drink. That sort of spending is actually tracked with this study in those audience intercept surveys. And so we can find out how much on average people are spending on souvenirs. And those are things they tend to get when they're shopping as part of their arts and cultural experience. Also in hotels, there's a breakdown between residents and non-residents on what they're spending. And non-residents, as you might imagine, spend quite a bit more. on average,
sure,
when they attend an arts and cultural event, excluding admission, just because of the travel that they're doing and possibly the hotel stays.
And then let's talk about accessibility and demographics. It's not all about how many dollars people can pull out of their pockets. It's about reaching a greater audience. Are there ways in the study that was looked at to say, who are we reaching from a demographic standpoint? Are we doing the best we can at reaching out to people who have a smaller budget, who have no budget, who might be new to the area, new to the country? What's being done there?
Oh, that's an excellent question. It happens to be Refugee Day today, right?
I did not know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's something I'm very sensitive to, and I'm really trying to determine how we can make those connections to, for example, the refugee committee or community, excuse me, here in Sioux Falls. The study really, it reports a lot of data, and what we do with that data is up to us. But I'll tell you that when it does break down demographically, the respondents to those audience intercept surveys, the audience members do tend to be slightly higher educated, generally an overall higher, household income than average. And so there is definitely room there for that accessibility factor. And I do think that that's something the Arts Council can really assist with. For example, when we're talking about Refugee Day, I know that we are, as a community, such an important partner with the resettlement of refugees because through Lutheran Social Services here. And that is a very vital and important aspect of the community. And for the arts community to be able to tap into that, I think is important. If the Arts Council isn't trying to extend that handshake to that community and others that generally can't access the arts as readily, we're not really doing our duty of serving the entire community, which is why the Arts Council exists, to use the arts in service of the whole community. We don't just serve the arts community or the businesses. We really need to think bigger than that. So I'm glad you asked that question.
Any other surprises in here that you looked and said, I was really wanting to find that out, and now I know this, and that's going to help me decide what to do next? What was key to you personally that you were really curious about?
There were a couple numbers that had grown so much over the last study. I had to reach out to my research contact at Americans for the Arts just to confirm there were no typos. Because, the some of the spending was quite a bit higher this time, and he reassured me that, no, the numbers are good. But really, that total event-related expenditures, when it comes to audiences, that breakdown, we mentioned the figure of 105.5 million overall. Right. 84.8 million of that is actually from the audience expenditures. Hmm. That was the number that surprised me, because that was quite a bit lower last time around. But again, different organizations were reporting, a smaller sample of organizations. And as we've mentioned, the economy wasn't as robust then as it is now.
Right. How does it compare to other regions, Black Hills region, regions in Minnesota? Do you have an idea?
Yes. The Black Hills area is the other South Dakota community that participated in the study, and they seem to be doing fantastic in terms of the numbers that they have. In fact, it's worth noting that their population is overall smaller than ours, but their performance in economic impact across all those categories is either on par or above what ours is in this area. So I see that as a goal for us, to stay on that level and to get to that level, especially, like I said, considering our population base is quite a bit bigger here.
Interesting. Kara Dirksen, where can people find the details? Are they going to be available to the public online?
Yes.
Somewhere?
The summary document that just hits kind of the highlights is actually available now online at Americans for the Arts. I can't recite the specific URL, but if you Google Americans for the Arts, you'll be able to find it. And then we will also be, if it isn't right now, it will be any moment on our own website, which is artsiouxfalls.org.
It's all moving fast. Kara Dirksen, Executive Director of the Sioux Falls Arts Council, thanks for being here. Come back again.
Thank you so much.